Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to SNS Sticks and Kicks, your one-stop shop for all the 2014 FIFA World Cup action. And here is your host, the man himself, Mr. Ashley Richardson.
So, day 11 of Sticks and Kicks covering the World Cup, and wow, what a mixed bag of a day this was. Because we saw some brilliant football, some shocking football, and some unjust football. In all of this, I don't know what how the best way I can describe it. But anyway, we'll start with the first match of day 11, and that's Belgium versus Russia. And you know, I have to talk about it, but I sort of don't want to because this match doesn't deserve any attention. Because realistically, this is probably one of the worst matches that I've seen in quite a while in terms of international football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. Really, the first half had one real shot when Alexander Kokorin had an easy opportunity to get a winner from about 6 yards out, but just headed it wide, and yeah, you know, it was just, that was all that happened in the first half. It sounds surprising, but honestly, it was just, oh, I don't know. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, the second half was even more lackluster, with nobody seemingly trying at all. It just, you know, there was no shots. There was one that hit. It was Belgium's very first shot on target after 84 minutes of the match, with Kevin Morales hitting the post. It was a good shot, but that was the fact that that was Belgium's first shot of the entire match after 84 out of the 90 minutes, not including the however many minutes of injury time that were added on. It was... This sort of tells you, one, how fortunate Belgium have been. Because, you know, they won. We'll get to that. But also, how negative Capello must be as a manager. Because, in all essence, he's doing for Russia now what he did during quite a lot of his tenure at England a few years back. And it's sort of the Italian mentality, which is park the bus, we'll be happy with a 0-0 draw. Which is weird because sort of on paper, you'd have thought they'd have wanted to win because it's up against a side that's probably going to be, you know, I wouldn't say the favourite out of all of them, but they'd be in with a chance. But anyway, yeah, it was really, with only a couple of minutes in, the substitute, Divock Origi, turned in a cross from Eden Hazard. And that means Belgium go through. They don't bloody deserve to. I love the fact that the manager says that we deserve to win the match. And the fact as well that the man of the match was Eden Hazard, who did practically bugger all apart from give the assist, to Belgium. Also, the assist to Origi, should I say. Other than that, you might as well just go smoke some pot. Because it'll probably be more use. I wish I was lying, but that's the honest truth about it. Anyway, yeah, that's the way I feel about that. It was a poor match. To be honest, if Belgium get pasted by somebody in the next round, good riddance to them, because this Belgium team had a lot of potential and they still haven't shown it at all. Just overall, just... I don't want to talk about it any further. I am that disgusted. You know, stats were pretty much 50-50. You know, it's 51-49, but same thing, 50-50. Both had the same amount of shots. Both pretty much had the same amount of shots on target as well. And I'm just... I don't know. I'll talk about it again when they probably win again unjustly, like how they got lucky against Algeria. It's really been a side of luck for Belgium. I know the whole thing is, the lucky ones do the best. Not in the way that they deserved it. No. Anyway, enough about negative. Let's talk about some positive stuff for next match. Well, no, we can't talk about positive stuff because this was ridiculous as well. South Korea taking on Algeria. That's the way the scoreline is, or the way the fixture was anyway. And to be honest, it was sort of a mix of a great performance and a crap performance. If I tell you that by half time, Algeria were 3-0 up, I think that might tell you a bit. It really just was a case that I guess they never showed up. Algeria made 5 changes from their first match against Belgium, and it started off with great momentum for them as Feghouli probably should have got a penalty. Was tripped up by Kim Jong-won before the ball fell to Barami to hook it over the post. So That was, what was his name? Barami? Yassine Barami. It was certainly, it's, you know, looking at it, it probably could have been a penalty if the referee had seen it. I don't know. It's sort of, it would be the thing that could be decided again with a video replay, but then it sort of becomes unfair, so you just leave it. But eventually, it was, what's his name? Islam Slimani. He scored the opener. He had a couple of shots and basically, you know, he did some bad move. You know, he didn't do great early on, but then midway through the first half, he eventually managed to get past a couple of the South Korean defenders to lock on to a Karmajani pass and just nip the ball past the keeper, Jung Sung Ryong. And, yeah, they went into the lead. Then the their defender, Rafiq Halish, got a very nice header from a corner from, let me have a quick look, from Abdel Muaymi Jabu. I think that's how you pronounce it. You know, I'm not going to be great on some of these names, people. And, yeah, that was only like a few minutes afterwards. And then even before half-time, Jabu actually got a goal when Slimani actually gave him a ball. And they, you know, Algeria went in 3-0 at the break. And the stat of that half was that South Korea hadn't had a single shot on target. But pretty soon after the break, about 5 minutes in into the second half, they got a goal back from a mistake from Majid Bugera, allowing Song Heung-min to get basically nutmeg the keeper, put the ball through Rice Maboli's legs. So 3-1 as it was then. And there were certainly opportunities. Ki Sung Young had a very long range shot, but the keeper did a brilliant save in order to make sure that it didn't go in. But Yassine Barimi got the fourth. Basically, a great 1-2 with Fuguli, and then slotted it past the keeper. South Korea clearly, with the momentum that they did have, showed up again, and it was Cool Jae-chul scoring a pretty good ball. He connected onto a ball from Lee Kyung-ho, because Algeria just really didn't really defend it well. But that was 4-2, and for the last 20 minutes or so, Algeria, being exhausted and everything, managed to hold on and get their first victory in a World Cup finals match since 1982, those four goals are more goals than they've scored in their preceding seven World Cup matches combined. Because obviously they scored one in the last match, and then they scored, I think, one in 2010 and one in, I think it was 2006 they were in as well. I'm not sure, but yeah, they well-deserved result for Algeria, and I'm kind of hoping that, I don't know, it's probably, Algeria probably aren't going to go any further, but I think if they can get to the last 16, considering, in at least on early form, how liked Russia and South Korea were, I think Algeria will consider that a success enough, to be honest. So, good result there. In terms of the stats, man of the match, understandably, was Islam Salami, the Algerian striker. And on possession, again, it was even, actually. 52 to South Korea, 48 to Algeria. But it was a case of, I guess, more their... out of the four goals that they had, they had five shots on target. Four of those five shots on target were goals. So I guess they had a better turnaround on that sort of form there. And, yeah, pretty good performance from them. Have to see what happens coming into... trying to think. Coming into the final match in a few days. And then finally, we jump back to Group G. I think this was delayed, so it would be a better time for the USA audience. And, yeah, it was the USA taking on Portugal. And... yeah, it was really, it was sort of interesting. I can't really say a game of two halves because it was a good match, but it's just, it got really, it basically, I was going to say really exciting, I don't think that's the word I'm looking for. Everything went down really very early on in the match or very late on in the match. USA really didn't perform well right at the start because in no time at all, within 5 minutes, the defensive or hang on, Jeff Cameron, is he the keeps? I don't know the American team off by heart. And if those of you think I should, I might have to if they progress any further in the competition. If it ever shows up. If it ever scrolls. There we go. Oh no, he's a defender, Cameron. I should have remembered Tim Howard's in goal. I'm an idiot. Jeff Cameron basically attempted to clear the ball, but pretty much sliced it. You know, he didn't connect properly and went straight to Nani, who knocked it past the American keeper, Tim Howard. And it seemed like as soon as that happened, the US team woke up and starting to put in quite a lot of good opportunities. And, yeah, there was... they created good chances, but... not really be able to do anything. Portugal weren't great at the back because obviously all these shots were coming in from America, but USA were similarly not great at the back because Portugal had chances themselves. Nani struck the post. There was a great save from Howard from the... oh, what's his name? I can't remember. Adair? Is his actual name Edair? Yeah. Wow. Edair came on after 16 minutes, so Postiga must have been injured. So, yeah, Edair came on really early, which I guess was not a great situation. I'm guessing that probably means he's injured. But, yeah, Ronaldo wasn't in great form for quite a lot of the match. There was... apparently, he suffered a little bit of tendonitis in his left knee, so they were questioning whether he'd be on form, and he wasn't really good. But yeah, 1-0 at halftime, everything to play for. And then about 10 minutes into the second half, there was a great opportunity that USA had. They... I can't really say should have done better because that's harsh. But Michael Bradley basically had a chance from close range to put it in the net. But Ricardo Costa, the keeper, did a pretty fantastic save. And it then, I guess, gave the guys enough momentum to really get back into it, because after that opportunity that I wouldn't say went begging, but certainly was a good opportunity for them to get the equaliser, they went on and did get the equaliser. USA, it was certainly a good move. You know, we can't object to that. It wasn't like it was a fluke thing. It wasn't a Belgium. That could become a technical term in the upcoming future. They didn't do a Belgium. So, yeah, it was, Jones sidestepping Nani before a pretty damn nice shot from Jones. Just really, Jones, what was it? Jermaine Jones did very good there. And then with about 10 minutes to left in the match, Dempsey was... I think it was from a corner, and Dempsey managed to... He was close range to the goal, and it sort of went in off his chest to go in. And in all essence, that should have been the... that should have been a winning goal for them, but unlike other teams when they had leads, the USA defence fell apart, because in the 94th minute of... So in the fourth minute of injury time, in which there was 5 minutes of injury time, Cristiano Ronaldo put a cross in, and the substitute Silvestre Varela dived in to get it, and Portugal come with a point when they probably didn't deserve it, in all honesty. Stats were very equal. They both got a third of their shots on target. 5 out of 15 on target for America, and 7 out of 21 for Portugal. If you look at those stats, it probably should be fair that it's a draw, but really the USA defence should have done better, in all honesty. However, this match was a significant one. Due to the temperatures being in the high 90s in Fahrenheit, and with the humidity being 62%, this was the first match to have the drinks break rule, because we're in Manaus, which is the furthest north out of all of them, and it's right in the middle of the Amazon. It's going to be hot and humid, even at night. And we had to bring in the rule that the time would stop for 30 minutes to allow the players to take on water and fluids to replenish their energy, to make sure we didn't have anybody collapsing and everything. So, certainly that was probably the most notable thing of the match, and also neither side really performing great attacking-wise or defensively. But, that's day 11 and the last day of normal stuff. Because day 12, we start getting good. So tomorrow, it starts with the final matches of Group B. So we've got Australia and Spain, who are just playing for pride and for who actually wants to win or whatever. Because neither of them are in they can't qualify. But the other match in the group, it's probably going to be the match to watch, I'd say, because Holland versus Chile will decide who wins the group and who could face Brazil in the next round, which could be, depending how the results go, could be entertaining. Because in the other one, We have got Croatia versus Mexico and Cameroon versus Brazil later on in Group A's final matches. There is the possibility, of course, that Mexico can still top the group, as Brazil and Mexico are on 4 points. Croatia have an opportunity as well to spoil the party. If they beat Mexico, it could obviously mean Brazil and Croatia could go through. The only team that isn't actively in is Cameroon, but they could still cause problems. But to be honest, with the Brazil side and the way that they've been, and the way the Cameroon side has showcased themselves over the last few days, I honestly think Brazil are probably going to win that. More than likely, Mexico will win. In the other one, I couldn't tell you, because I don't know whether Spain will bother to show up, and Holland-Chile could be a close game. So, anyway, that is going to be coming up in Day 12 stuff. So, I guess it's time to head off. Check out all the other shows here on the network. You know, I'll just quickly go through them: Unplugged, Beyond the Bell, Get in the Zone, Sunday Night Showdown, Elite Force Podcast, Dicks and Flicks, Whole Indie Show, Running the Ropes, Unplugged CT. I think that's everybody covered. If I've forgotten, I apologise, but it's time to get ready, because it's time to say farewell officially to 16 teams, and it all begins on Day 12. Este samba que misto de maracatu, esse samba de preto bem.